You are now listening to a Porch Different podcast.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Porch FM.
Porch FM, your kasi, your stasi.
It is 6:30 here on Porch FM. I love it when we have a guest on the show. I love to hear other people's voices. I love to hear their views, what they stand for. But tonight's guest is different. I am actually more excited to have him because he is really different. He is from the Vryheids Front, the Freedom Front Plus. I must add the plus, he said. And we engage in conversation, and like all the other candidates we had on our show, we are very pleased to have him as the candidate for our Ward 43 and to tell us why we should vote for him and what does he stand for. Wesley, good evening and welcome here at Porch FM.
Thank you for the listeners.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you. Wes, we're going to start asking you the question that we ask all our guests on the show. Tell us about yourself, your background, how you got involved into politics and maybe the party as well. You have all the time now.
Thank you so much. All right, to get it started, as you said, the typical stereotype, looking at somebody and judging them according to how they either sound or how they look, I love it because people can never tell what I am.
Mm.
And for me, I believe, you know what, I'm a true South African baby. I'm a diverse baby. I'm mixed. Okay? I don't belong to anything. I don't belong to a specific ethnic group, I believe. But technically, in this country, I am a colored because my father is a colored. More about myself as a candidate of Ward 43. I started my journey in politics with my father's party, the NCP, the Nationalist Coloured Party, where I was the youth leader.
Was that in Cape Town?
That was in Cape Town, yes.
Okay.
That what we tried to do was implement what we called CEE, Coloured Economic Empowerment, because we were seeing that our coloured community was not being empowered by the broader BEE. It was only one-sided. After that, joined the military, also to make a change, but sad to say that I wasn't, for the first time in my life, I've heard that I wasn't black enough to be promoted or to go further. So with the last little passion that I had, I resigned, and I'm now currently working for a security company while doing my candidacy for the Vryheids Front Plus. So for me, when it came to the military, it's very hard for me because I was very passionate. I find that somebody that wants to be somewhere is more passionate than somebody that needs to be. Let me explain why I think so, in my opinion. I want to get up for work and jump out of aeroplanes.
Mm.
I need to go to work because I need to put bread on the table. Which one do you think are you happy? Okay. So for me to leave based on my race, not being worthy enough, not based on my merit, not based on my skill, not based on my knowledge, not based on what I put my body through, but purely because the color of my skin was not correct. For me, born in 1993, I'm a born free. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the thing is, I don't feel that, you can call it what you want, can't sugarcoat it, that hatred. I don't have it. I love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So for me to leave due to racism as a Christian, I can't understand. Because if you cut my arm off, I'm going to bleed red blood. Same as any other color person. Okay. I'm a very religious person as well. My point that I'm trying to make is that God doesn't judge according to color. When you go to heaven, he doesn't say blacks one side, colors one side, whites one side. He says those with sin step forward. I'm going to judge you. So why do we as human beings judge according to color? Are we more superior than him? Are we better than him? Because we're clearly judging according to color. So for me, God doesn't see color. He only sees sins. So letting go of that was very hard because I was passionate. It still burns in my heart every time I see a C-130 fly over. So for me, positions, opportunities, they should all be awarded on merit and not on skin color. Skin color or gender has no benefit other than getting a job, in my opinion. The thing is, the color of your skin, the gender that you are, doesn't make you more qualified for the position. For example, let's say you're a spray painter. Does me being a colored make me a better spray painter than somebody being of a different ethnicity or a different color? No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
So what you're saying is you're employing somebody based on color, not on his abilities. And for me, I find it unfair. So enough about me. Let's talk about the party.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk briefly. I'm not going to go into deep history now of the party. I'll just talk briefly. So a small history would be, obviously, there's a certain stigma or a stereotype when it comes to Die Vryheidsfront Plus. Or in English, Freedom Front Plus. Okay? So before, it was named the Freedom Front. Thereafter, they renamed it the Freedom Front Plus in order for us to add more diversities. So now, as you can see, me sitting here representing the party, they represent more than one denomination. They are not the Afrikaans party that you think it is. But don't get me wrong, they are there for the minorities, which is the Afrikaners, which is the coloreds, anybody that is being oppressed and not being stood up for. That's what we fight for. So our beliefs, we are a party that's based on strong Christian and religious beliefs. Okay? The party is based purely on integrity, morals, and ethics. We believe that opportunities should be rewarded purely on merit, nothing else. We are against affirmative action and the abuse of BEE. Our focus is to, you know what, it's a very broad spectrum. But the thing is, our focus is basically to create a favorable environment for all economic growth through good service delivery, infrastructure, development and maintenance, as well as your taxes and tariffs. We need fair tariffs. We need fair transaction of tax. We also believe that we need to have functioning municipalities to stimulate the economic well-being of the communities, create job opportunities through private sector, and reduce the number of the poor. Let me stop there. Let me broaden this. My problem is, Eersterus as a whole falls under a greater district. Okay? So, what the party is focusing on is trying to make Eersterus smaller. So, make it independent on its own. Why I say so? Is that the budget is allocated for a larger area. So let's say an area of 200 kilometers. Where do you prioritize there? If there's 1 million rand, how fast does 1 million rand just disappear? faster than 5 billion, 500 billion. So the thing is, if a million rand is allocated, where do you put it within that 200 kilometer radius? But if we reduce it to make it only Eastris as its own, as a community, there is a certain budget just allocated for Eastris. So these are plans that can be implemented, okay? But the right people need to do it. Whether it's me, whether it's the next councillor, all I want, all that's important is the community, nothing else. Okay? So if there are funds, it can be used for infrastructure, not to be put into the pockets of you know who. So we believe that there needs to be functioning municipalities so we can stimulate the economic well-being of the communities. So by saying that, we want to empower the community. Okay, we want to create jobs. They often say they don't want to replace or repair or upgrade anything in the area due to vandalism. What is the number one priority? Security. If you're going to build, let's say, a library, why don't we find people within the community of Eastris, which there are multiple talented people here? If they are not talented enough, we'll train them. We'll have workshops. We'll empower the community within. If somebody of the community builds something with his own blood, sweat and tears, do you think he's going to vandalize it? No, he won't. If the people of the community is looking after their own community, there won't be anything of that. Well, I don't know. If you build something, would you want to destroy it?
No.
No, I don't think so. So we need to stop the over-expenditure of the taxpayers' money, especially with regards to the subcontracting of companies to do the work of the government officials who are supposed to have been approved due to their competency for the actual job. So you'll find there's 43% of officials that are not even qualified for their jobs. Do you think they deserve to be there? Do you think they belong there based on not being qualified? Would you take your car to a mechanic that's not qualified? No.
No.
So now why are we allowing people to run our communities, run our country, and not be competent? As a Freedom Front Plus, we will participate in coalitions with governments, because this election is about coalitions. But the coalition governments need to obviously meet us merit-wise, ethical-wise. They need to meet us. They have to tick all our boxes. Okay? So we will form a coalition government to oppose the current government policies and the regulations that lead to the decline of municipalities, as well as fight within a coalition government for the rights of its voters, and will oppose racial discrimination and unfair affirmative action appointments. So affirmative action and BEE are two strong points that the Freedom Front will not take. So we stand firmly against it. So you asked me something with regards to the proportional voting. Okay? I won't get into too much detail because it's very intricate. There's a lot of formulas, wards, minus this, minus that, plus one, and you're going to bore your listeners. But before I dive into that, I just want to explain what a councillor is. So a councillor, he is an elected representative of the people and are mandated as elected representative to make decisions on behalf of the constituencies. So basically what I'm saying is that he is the voice of the people. Okay? So if the voice of the people, which is the community, is not being heard, where are their voices going? Are they maybe speaking to the wrong person? Because my point is, there needs to be a communication. If there is a problem within a community, you'll obviously not speak to every community, a person in the community singularly. You'll elect somebody ahead. Everybody in the community will come to that person with a problem. That person will then relate to the actual counselor of this ward. He will then take it up and try and sort out the problem. If he goes missing, but you keep on sending him messages, asking him where is he, why is he not here, why is he not in the community? This is his ward. This is his people. His people chose him.
Do you think he needs to stay and live in the ward?
Look, it'll be unfair on the person to say so. But strongly, that's what it comes down to. You need to actually stay in the ward to experience where you are. So the thing is, if you're not in the community, how many politicians do you think still stay in their communities? Or have they moved out into more posh areas? Nobody has built a house in the area.
I don't have that stats, but do you think a councillor, as the entry level of politics, is it a must for him to stay in his ward?
Look, it's not a must. You don't have to. But the thing is, for me, as big as a problem as there is here, nobody can get in contact with him. So we might as well put up something for him here, that he can stay here, and he can see what the people, their needs are. Because clearly his phone doesn't work.
Okay. Tell me, the Freedom Front of the Freedom Front Plus in Affirmative Action and BEE, you say you are heavily against that.
Yes.
Okay. The way I understand BEE and Affirmative Action is as follows. If two people apply for the same position, one is black, one is white, they have the same qualifications, the same experience probably. You empower the black guy based on his race because he didn't have the advantage when there was apartheid. We were, as black people, we were not given the same opportunities. Do you and your party have a problem with that?
Based on race? Yes.
So if we employ the white guy, when will the black guy stand up? If we take it in business, if for instance, if you supply the government with wood, we buy 10 billion rand of wood from your company every year. Here's an up-and-coming black company that also do the same. So government say to the white company, listen, you must diversify your top structures. In other words, you must also employ black people in your top structure so that you qualify for BEE points so that we can do business with you. Do you have a problem with that?
The thing is, I don't have a problem with that, but I have a problem with the point that we keep mentioning the race. Race has nothing to do with it. What are we trying to do as a government? We're trying to save money. We're trying to save taxpayers' money. The more we save, the more we have money to implement and reform and repair infrastructure within communities. Imagine I'm buying a bottle of water for 75 rand, which is true. But imagine I could get the same bottle of water for 10 rand. Let's times that by 100,000.
No, that's corruption. Affirmative action or empowering a BEE guy. I know that's happening.
So where does BEE come from and why do we have a problem with it? We have a problem with it because it's being abused.
It is abused. I agree with you. But I'm talking about in a situation where we apply it correctly as it was meant to when the lawmakers make it. Not the corrupt way. The corrupt, if you buy
so
the water.
You're talking about if it was used in the right way.
Yes. Would you still
100%,
have a problem?
No, I wouldn't.
But then it would still be based on race. Because we're going to say the black guy was not given the same opportunity. So we have to empower him. Either by buying from him the wood, the 10 billion rand wood a year. Or you must, in order from the white company to buy from the white company, then he needs to diversify his top structure in management. We don't say take people from the street and make them a director. That's exactly what we don't want. And that's what's happening. We want, they are capable black guys. They are capable black guys who can get funding. They are capable black guys who have their own funds to be brought into that company to as a senior manager to come and make a difference. To grow the company.
We can unify. There can be some sort of, you can talk.
So then you won't have a problem with that.
No, I wouldn't. Personally, I wouldn't.
So what is the problem? Is it the race or is it the corruption that you feel cannot be managed properly?
The problem is the corruption, the abuse of the BEE. The abuse. That's the only problem that there is.
Okay. What do you think, Wes, is the needs in our community currently, in our ward 43? What do you think is the needs to be solved by a councillor? If you were to be the councillor appointed on Tuesday, what would your immediate plans be?
My immediate plans would be straight on the ground.
Mm.
I need to meet up with the heads of the actual community. I'm sure there are a few that are elected. Do you know of any that comes to mind that you have maybe interviewed before?
Well, I don't know. All the candidates say they would gladly work with a councillor, any councillor who won.
Yes, but if I was the councillor, you'd obviously need to approach those that are now people of power within the communities. So people that have pull, that have people that can help out and give information as to what are the problems within the community. Water and sanitation, is that a problem? Housing, is that a problem? Infrastructure development, is that a problem? Job opportunities, is that a problem? So you'd find out what the problems are and address them and prioritize them. What is the main problems within the community? Is it electricity? Is it illegal infrastructures? What are they?
So in terms of housing and job opportunities, you the councillor now, what will your steps be to try and alleviate it?
Look, like I was saying before, we need to empower the community from within. So why do I need to get external contractors or external builders or whatever to build within this community when I can take the people from this community, train them if they are not skilled, use them, make them artisans, make them woodwork specialists, make them carpenters, use them, because not only will they help us with that specific contract, they will then have qualifications to go start their own businesses.
Okay, how are you going to about setting up a skill center like that?
That will
costs
obviously
a lot
have
of money always.
That will have to come from higher up, but it's things that can be implemented.
Mm.
It's not impossible. You just need to find the right channels. We can get people that are retired. We don't need to pay an arm and a leg for information, for knowledge. We can get people within the communities who are retired carpenters, who are retired electricians. They can be taught.
Mm. Okay. And the housing crisis, there is a housing crisis. You see, Kavuki land is expanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a similar problem in my other ward, ward 78, with the illegal settlements.
Where's that? 78.
The Uvas, Centurion.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that is a legal problem that needed to be sorted out way before by local enforcements.
Mm.
The thing is, there is budgets for informal settlements. There is budgets allocated, but they are being sucked dry before they can be even used or spent. In a perfect world, I wish that budget can be given or allocated. We take those people, obviously letting them know there's RDP houses available for you guys. There's a waiting list. We relocate them somewhere else using those funds.
Mm.
We need to be transparent and play open cards.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with questions.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Poort FM.
Poort FM, your kasi, your stasi.
Poort FM, it's our business to mind your business. Here's to the car dealership, the mechanic, the baker, the beautician, the hairdresser, the funeral parlor, the doctor and the pharmacy, the electrician, the builder, the plumber, the retailer and the boutique owner. In general, the small to medium business owner. Poort FM salutes businesses that help build our community. Why not make it our business to mind your business and make sure that your business continues to grow? To advertise on Poort FM, contact the sales manager on 065-271-7758 or simply email us info@poortfmradio.com.
It is 3 minutes to 7 here on Poort FM with me, Paplay, the host, on the host of the show. And we are talking to Wesley Jacobs, candidate for Ward 43 under the auspice of the Freedom Front Plus. Mr. Robert Oliphant has three questions here, Wes. He says, question number one, as a predominantly white-dominated party, how do you envisage an all-inclusive South Africa? Will they not just focus on white areas and neglect us?
No, not at all. To correct that statement, like I've shared with you yourself, I've showed you just one area in Cape Town even. Look, let's talk about every province. Just taking Cape Town for instance. Drakenstein alone, I just showed you one particular area which had 27 candidates in it. How many non-whites did you see there?
There's quite a few.
Quite a few? Or majority?
I can't remember, but I can go back, but you can carry
on. But I can tell you for free that it is more coloreds than they are whites. So to say that we are predominantly white is untrue. We are a diversity. We are a party of multi different races. The thing is, that is what the plus means within the name. We are adding day by day, night by night, but week by week.
But in general, you still have more white candidates than non-whites in the entire South Africa.
That's how it started. There's parties which I can name, which obviously I don't want to give them the opportunity.
No, but I'm talking about the question is now what he asked is how, as a predominantly, I think you're still predominantly white, don't you think, in your management of your party? The top 10, how many blacks is there in the 10 tops of your structure?
To be factual, that's correct.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just assuming because I know, like I said, I was so amused. I've never heard of anyone of color being a candidate.
That's why you almost fell off your chair when I told you
yes,
that I was coming.
When we spoke, you talk about Peter Murray in the Cape. Yeah, he is maybe one of the most prominent guys. He has been there, I think, the previous election as well.
Yeah.
But so you say you're quite inclusive because of the plus of the Freedom Plus.
Of course, I stand. That's why I stand firmly behind the party, to say that they are standing with us and not against us. We are with them. This is a party that stands with integrity, and they are willing to diversify. They're sharing everything with us.
Were you or did you read up or do introspective about other parties as well? Let's say the Patriotic Alliance, the DA, the ANC, or were you just amused by the Freedom Front?
The thing is, the Freedom Front stood out for me, especially one crucial thing, my father. My father wouldn't join a party that didn't stand with the same morals and values that he shared. Hence him starting the Nationalist Coloured Party.
But did he also join the Freedom Front?
He is a ward candidate in Drakenstein.
Oh, okay. Question two, let's just go to the questions again. By Mr. Wolifan, how do they believe our crippled economy can be restored Do they have tangible plans, for example, to address unemployment?
Yes, they have. And later on, I'll be discussing the 10-point plan. I'll just be walking through it.
You can do it now.
We can do it now. Okay, so our 10-point plan. So the first one would be to stop the appointment of officials who are not on merit and appoint the best person for the job. We need to decentralize local government and dissolve power to as near as possible to the community. We need to raise fair rates and taxes and stop unfair increases. We need to create a favorable environment for the private sector to stimulate economic growth and sustainable job creation. We need to act as power balance within multi-party governments and fight for the rights of the Freedom Front Plus voters in these governments. We need to act as an effective watchdog against mismanagement, corruption, and incompetence. We need to stop the pollution of the environment, prioritize infrastructure maintenance, comply with the relevant legislation, effective policing, and promote a culture of recycling. We need to stop the loss of water due to burst pipes and leakages, protect heritage and respect diversity, stop the unnecessary changes to places or street names. We need to create a healthy and safe environment and promote good values. So those are our 10-point plans for the improvement of the municipal management and services delivery.
Are you done?
Yeah.
With the 10. Okay. The change of names and place names. What's the issue that you have with it?
The thing is, it's based on history, heritage. So why change? Why change it?
Take Verwoerd, for instance, the architect of apartheid. Do we need to still have his name around, thrown in our faces, Hendrik Verwoerd Hospital, bijvoorbeeld?
For me, take it how it comes. The past built us to who we are today.
But can you imagine people who died in the struggle? People went to jail, people went to Robben Island, they come out, we have freedom. You were faced with these names and street names and all that, and here you still see them every day. Do you really think that you can just move on with your life?
Look, I can't say, I don't know how other people feel. Personally, I don't feel anything towards it, so I wouldn't have a problem not changing it, like I told you.
But you mentioned here that it's your party's 10-point plan to say don't change names of places and streets.
So let's talk about things like the Fort Trekker Monument. Let's take that for instance. That was at one stage something that they wanted to bulldoze down or change the name of. Why? For what reason?
Yeah, because of the pain that the people feel. There's no statue of there's now a statue of Shaka at the airport. We're going to close off with this now. I don't want us to dwindle too much on one thing. But I mean, really, the apartheid government never acknowledged, set up museums. They started Homelands, yes, but that was a plan to break the power, because now you feel liberated in Popotatswana, Venda, Saskai, Transkai, and all that things. But they never acknowledge the role of black people in this country. So why should those monuments and statues still be there? I know you're from 93. Maybe you can't just talk of your personal experience, because that's a party point that
Remember
you mentioned.
I said that in my opinion.
No, so, but you said this is the party said unnecessary changing of names and in place street names and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's still Kafferskraal. There's still an area called Kafferskraal. You know, I mean, do you think it's
Yeah, but let's look. That was not specifically saying which.
But I mentioned Verwoerd Hospital to start with.
Okay, look, that is a personal perspective. And the thing is, I can't answer that as to which roads need to be changed or what the reasons are. But me personally, I don't have a problem with it. That the roads need to remain roads. Names are names. What if Hendrik Verwoerd had a sibling or something, and it was named after that person. We can look at it from many points of view.
Okay, okay, let's leave it there, because the last question from Robert Ulifan is, what is your plans to reduce crime and drugs in our community?
So, the implementation of local...
Do you know about the crime and drugs in our community?
Of course I do.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Well, it's nothing new compared to where I come from. So, the implementation of local law enforcement, implementing more security factions within the community, startup security companies, there's job creation right there. Train them within SIRA grades. Teach them discipline. That is going to keep some of our younger generations off the street. And who knows where they might branch off after that. So, like I said, we can start all these, these factions where you can actually implement job creation with people that have past experiences, that are now retired but are qualified. They can find different avenues for them to write the exam free of charge or get grants from government. Look, there's a solution for every problem. You can't keep coming with a problem and then you tell somebody else, there's a problem. I can't sort your problem out. Find a solution. There's something. Don't say, we can't repair your infrastructure or your civic center because people are vandalizing it. Why? I don't understand. Because the thing is, if they are vandalizing it, get security. Put security here. Hire people from within the community and put them in security positions.
Okay. There's another question here from Hami George. She says, what stops him now from starting a skills and training center? Being a counselor is not a requirement to start a center. I think that's a very good question.
Also true. Look, when it comes to getting the accreditation for things like that, I would need to obviously get companies to approach me. Some people that will come to the party and say, you know what, we offer this skills and development for your community. Look, it doesn't take a counselor to do that, but why must it take somebody not in the position getting paid for it to do it? So if you are the counselor, why are you getting a local to implement all these things within your community? And it's empowering the community, but the counselor is just not involved, not answering phone calls, not listening to the people. But there's somebody that's not a counselor that is doing this for the community.
But well, you do you want to be a counselor? Do you held us hostage to say, if you make me a counselor, I'll start that center. If not, then I won't. If your answer is no, then I agree with her. Why don't you start it, even if you don't win the race? It's not a counselor's job, that. It's just it's an extra.
It's a matter of uplifting the community.
Yes, but anyone can uplift the community. It doesn't have to be the
council. So why doesn't it start within the community? Why must it take somebody from outside?
But you, as somebody who cares for this community, I think you do, don't you?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
But the question is, not my question, her question is, why don't you start it? You don't need to be a counselor. If you don't make the race, why don't you make it your vision and mission to say, okay, you know what? That ward needs a skill center, and I am going to run with this project. You know what? You will get it right. It's just to say you must be persevering.
No, you're 100% correct. And like I was telling you, whether I am elected or not, this place needs to find its hero. It needs to find somebody that is here for the community, whether he's elected or not.
Okay.
So like I'm saying, I will find it in my best of my powers to help the community. Because like I was getting to my point, when it comes to the votes, there's two types. You get your ward councillor and you get your proportional councillor. That's why I say every vote is important and every person needs to vote.
Yes, they can vote. Now everybody's voted. You have not won. Are you going to be that hero for us that you are talking about now?
I will implement it if there's people willing to stand with me to change this community, whether it be the new councillor or not. I'm willing to do that.
Okay. Everything is recorded here. We're going to, in a couple of years' time, when you come and campaign again, whether you're defending a councillor or trying again your to enter the race. We're going to play this tape.
Yeah, for me, it comes down to, you know what? If you want change, vote change. Mm. If you want the same, vote the same. But then also, don't complain.
Yeah, I agree. Let me just ask the second question. What is the values of the Freedom Front Plus? And at the same time, can you at least mention five critical problems in this community?
Yeah, the thing is, like I said, I've been over the aspects with regards to your first question. Five critical things in this community. I've named them already. Infrastructure. We've looked at it. I've walked through this building even. This is one of the key factors within this community. Mm. I've looked at the roads, the water and sanitation, the housing, the vandalization of most of the buildings that are here.
Mm.
There's five things right there. There's probably another 20 that I can speak
Okay,
of.
She said, did you consult the community on the problems they face, or will you consult after you are elected?
So how it would work is, obviously, I don't have superpowers, so I can't speak to every individual person. We would have to then elect somebody within the community that I can speak to directly and work with. We can have weekly or monthly meetings to say that, you know what, these are the problems within our community. We can even invite the new councillor, if not me. Then I killed two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. I'm there to help and I'm the councillor.
Mm. Shortly, how does the elective process work in your party for you to be the candidate now?
So we went through quite a lot. We went to about three different interviews.
Mm.
We had an actual exam that we had to write.
Exam on?
The party, mm. the structure, what we stand for. Everything that I've mentioned to you, I've learned through doing the exam. Mm. Thereafter, there's further election within the party to then place you within a certain peer list.
Hmm.
Okay? But I can't diverge too much into that. But there's a list that we... Let's say we have candidates 1 to 37.
For this ward?
No, for the entire...
Tswane?
Yes.
Yes?
They are then ranked from placement 1 to 37.
Okay.
And then obviously, with proportional seats and how it works, and like I told you, there's calculations mm. and things that happen. It's very intricate. But the first 10 will move up depending on how much proportional seats we get, etc., mm. etc.
And so, in how many wards do you stand as a candidate?
At the moment, I'm standing in three.
Three. So, if you won all three, do you make a decision which one you want to take up, or the party decides, or how does it work?
Look, it's very seldom that I would, but if a perfect world, I actually, to be honest with you, it's unclear about that. If I could, and it's in my power, I would try to my best of my abilities, obviously, to uphold all three, if I could.
Mm.
I would obviously elect people to help me. I would get branch managers, chairpersons within the communities,
mm.
elect them, start branches, sign up members.
So the other two wards are?
Ward 61 and 78. So 61 is Lodium.
Oh, okay. It's Lodium in?
The Uvas Centurion.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you see, I think... it's common parties do it, especially smaller parties, because also to get more votes for the proportional seat.
Wait, what was that you said? Small party.
Smaller parties.
No, we are not a small party. We are a big party. The fifth biggest party. And the thing is, you know what? I'd rather be a small party and be powerful than be a big party and do nothing.
So what are you? Big and weak, or small and powerful?
I'll let you decide. But come 1st November, we will see.
No, but listen, rating on the number of seats. How many seats do you have in council currently?
Currently, we have, I stand corrected, probably about 13 or 11, one of the two.
Out of 214 seats. So do you think you're not small?
We're not small. The thing is, I'll leave you with one story.
Mm.
David and Goliath.
From which aspect should we listen to the story.
I will let you decide. Imagination is key here. I need to get the juices flowing in the brains.
No, when I say you're a small party, I don't mean it. You came back and say, what do you say? We are a small party. You are a smaller party.
That is the rumors, and I need to squash it, because that is rumors that are going around, and it's untrue.
Maybe you're growing, because remember, you did very well in the last election, because...
We even did very well in the by-elections.
Yes, because you took wards from the DA more than any other party. You understand? So you did well. I must say, if you look at the figures, that's why.
So what does the word growing mean? Getting bigger.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Mm. Getting bigger. You are growing.
So out of how many parties that there are, we are top five. I think that is good odds. Come 1st November, I want to see what the new standings are.
No, that will be interesting. I think the last elections, we said this election will be interesting because of so many, you know, pros and cons. But this one is even more. So I think every year we're going to say that, that this election is big, this election is big. So it will be very, very interesting to see how things unfold in the elections, how the Freedom Front is doing. I would love to see how their black candidates are doing in their wards. That will be very, very... I would watch that with the hawk's eye.
I'm sure they'll do great, because obviously it obviously removes that stereotype that everybody is applying, that it is only a one-sided political party.
Mm, mm.
That is pure proof that it is not. They wouldn't be there in that positions if they didn't go through the correct channels and follow the same procedures that I did. Mm.
Wes, is there anything that you want to highlight, even if your own candidacy? Just want to mention there, this guy is huge. You should see his muscles, eh? You can check him out on Facebook. He's Wesley Jacobs. He was standing there and I was waiting for the guy, because he have this one picture that he looks so small. But when I saw him, he is also a professional bodybuilder. He can talk about that if you want to, Wes.
Yeah, no, it's the thing is, if you can't take care of yourself, how do you expect to take care of your household or the community and on a bigger scale?
But all politicians got big tummies.
It's just I got 8 of them. Yeah, so the thing is, I'm a walking example of how things should be. Looking after your body, taking care of yourself. I think I look this way to set a good example for the communities, because like I said, when I was in Cape Town, I used to do a lot of outreaches, especially with the bodybuilding. I used to go to informal settlements where the children used to play on the streets and sell drugs and do whatever to get them throughout the day. But once I went into a specific civic center and I actually spent time with them, and they saw, you know what, instead of doing what I'm doing now, let me concentrate on myself and make myself better, a better person. And I think that's what sparked me to actually want to make a change and want to make everything just better within my power.
Mm.
I wish we lived in a perfect world. I really wish we do.
Listeners, on Monday, it will be Wes' birthday. It is the 1st of November.
And I'm working.
And he's working. So I don't know if you want to bless him with a vote as a birthday present. I think he'll appreciate that more than a present.
Look, to be honest, vote for the right reason. Okay? I'm not saying don't vote for me, but I'm saying vote for the right reason. Like I was saying before, if you want change, vote change. If you want the same service delivery you've been getting, vote same. But I leave you with, don't complain. I don't want to hear, we're not getting this, we're not getting that, not answering my messages, not answering my emails. You're the person that elected them. So the thing is, with regards to the Freedom Front Plus, okay? So just to end off, us as a community, we need to stand up, we need to stand together. And we need to stand strong. We need to stop the decay. In unity, there is power. But if you are independent and want to be on your own, you're going to be weak. So for me, if this community could stand together, like I was telling you before, counselors only tell you how to get in a position. I'm going to explain to you how to take me out and get rid of me if I'm not doing my job. If I'm not competent, I need to be removed. Like you said, this is being recorded. If I'm not doing my job, I don't deserve to be there.
So what are the steps to remove a counselor?
It's few steps. It's just six of them. So to remove a counselor in a legal and responsible and respectable way, obviously there's processes and channels that need to be followed. So the first one is obviously elections. It's too long. You can't struggle for 5 years with the same counselor. So the party political meetings, you can address it there. Number three, your participation in meetings. So you can keep having meetings, not showing up. You can escalate them. You can even try and make personal contact. Number four. Number five, the enforcement of the code of conduct of the actual counselor. And he should know that off by heart. Lastly, six, letters, petitions, and media. That makes a great impact. Counselor not doing his job. Incompetent. Community struggling. Infrastructure is breaking. Living in decay. There is a seventh point, but I'm not even going to mention it. Let me call it peaceful protests.
Wes, I think you have some passion that you in your system, in this big muscles of yours. You know, if things are not happening for you this election, it's probably not that they say no. They might just say, the community might just say, not now. So thank you once again for coming. I wish you well and happy birthday on Monday. If I don't see you, enjoy your day and I hope you get the present that you want.
Thank you so much and thank you for the listeners for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. We will be back on Monday during election day. Good night.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Poort FM.
Your Kasi, your Stasi.